Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, that's pretty good. We'll work on that here in a few minutes. We're glad to have you in God's house tonight, and it is good to see everybody. I figured that we might have a lower number tonight, and that's all right, but our Awana kids have joined us tonight for our service and for Bible study, so we are really glad to see you guys. In case you may not know, there's some of you have not met. My name is Revis Schaefer. And that's my wife, Madison, right there. Raise your hand. And we won't go through all the names, but this is the rest of our folk here at Emory Heights Center that have come to our Wednesday night service. And we're very glad to have you. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to do it just a little bit differently. May have a shorter service tonight. And I try not to say that because usually I preach long when I say that. So we'll forget I said that. But we're going to have prayer requests. And then we're just going to do prayer time where anybody that wants to, you can come down to these altars and we're going to pray for these requests. And then after that, we're going to get right into our main Bible study tonight and we're going to preach a message from God's Word in the book of Genesis. So right now I want to give some requests to the church and then I'll give you an opportunity to make your requests known if there's something that you'd like for us to pray for. There are several in our church that are sick, as you know, and as we posted about, we have several recovering from illnesses, several recovering from surgeries that we want you to remember. We have a lot that simply are just sick with cold and flu-like sicknesses. We have several that do have COVID that we ask you to pray for. I'd like the church to please continue to remember Sister Agnes and Jim Bob. Agnes had COVID. She is recovered, feeling better, and Brother Jim Bob never did get it from her, so we thank the Lord for that. They'll be finishing out isolating and quarantining, but thank you for praying for them. Let's remember them. Brother Tweed Carpenter, he is already feeling better. I'm sure he's not all the way there yet, or he's not out of his quarantine yet, but his family, as far as we know, does not have it, just him, and it sounds like he's doing a lot better than the last time he had it. So we praise the Lord for that. Continue to remember the Langleys. They are feeling quite a bit better. They're still not. They still have a cough and I'm sure some other symptoms, but they're feeling better than they were. And then let's remember the Divine family. Lacey and Andy, little baby Maverick, had it as well. They've had mainly just cold and flu-like symptoms. And are getting there, recovering. So we thank you for praying for them, and especially for baby Maverick. Let's continue to remember the Nix family and the Bullard family. We have several that we need to pray for. I'd like the church to please remember Brother Johnny. Brother Johnny came home from the hospital Monday and is in need of our prayers still, just trying to recover. Has had a major setback. And I know that's very aggravating for him and a lot of things he's having to deal with, new things in his routine. Let's pray for Brother Johnny. And then let's remember also Miss Brenda Phillips, Sister Pam Wright's mother. We requested prayer for her Sunday. She has some spots that have raised concerns and got a test result back. Not as, I guess, to say it correctly, Miss Pam, it's not as concerning as what they thought, but still need further testing. And so let's pray for Sister Brenda, and she'll have a PET scan to be scheduled here soon. So let's pray for her. Is there any other requests at this time? Pray for Carmen. Anybody else? Yes, let's pray for these. Yes, ma'am. We can pray for your mom. What's your mom's first name? Nikki? Let's pray for Nikki. Did you say your mom or your mama? Grandma. Let's pray for her and the passing of her family member. What's her first name? Gail. What's her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany. I'm sorry to hear that. We'll pray for your family. Remember Jessica? Your papa? Your grandma? Your family? Let's pray for these. Our families need prayer, don't they? I appreciate you guys making some requests. Are there any others? What we're going to do tonight is we're going to pray. Sister Joyce is going to play a song. And anybody that wants to, you either pray where you're at or you can join me down here at these altars. And we're going to pray that God would touch these requests. We pray because God is a God that hears our prayers and answers our prayers. So you come and let's pray tonight, all right? Before we preach, does anybody have a song tonight? If you do, we invite you to come. Johnny, you come. Everybody else, take your Bibles and hold them up in there. And if you don't got one, turn to your neighbor who has one and you look off their Bible, all right? And there may be one in front of you in your seat or somewhere. And take it and turn it to the first book in your Bible. Somebody tell me, what's the first book in the Bible? Genesis. Good job. Genesis chapter 4. You listen. Brother Johnny, you sing.
Thank you. Here's a blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heaven laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I'll load your bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burdens light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burdens light. Stumbling on the mountains, dark with sin and shame, stumbling toward the pit of hell's consuming flame. By the power of sin, deluded and oppressed, hear the tender shepherd, come to me and rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burdens light. Have you cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet? Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus, he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Have you by temptation of sin conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim his best. In the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burdens light.
All right, turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 4. Thank you, Brother Johnny, for that song. If you have found Genesis chapter 4, we like to say this word over here. Say amen if you found your place.
Amen.
Let's try that again. If you found Genesis 4, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You kids, when you go back to Awana, say that to your teachers in the middle of their lesson, and they won't know what to do with themselves if you say amen. Just shout it real loud, the middle of their lesson. Especially if any of you have Jerome as your teacher. You make sure you amen him, all right? All right, Genesis chapter number 4. We've been doing a study in the book of Genesis for quite some time now. And I've decided to continue that tonight. We have been in chapter 4, and the main two people in chapter 4 that we've been talking about are two brothers by the name of Cain and Abel. Anybody heard of these two brothers? Anybody at all? Raise up your hand real tall if you have. All right, you can put it back down. Cain and Abel. You know what was special about these two brothers? They were the first people to have ever been born. They were the first two brothers ever in the history of the world. We know that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then on the sixth day, God created man. And that man's name was what? Adam. And then God made a wife for Adam, and her name was Eve. And then Adam and Eve had two sons by the name of Cain and Abel. That was kind of pitiful. Let's try that again. First man was Adam. The first woman was, and the first two sons were? All right, good job. Genesis chapter number 4. Let's read in verse number 9. And we're going to read some verses out of this chapter. I want you to pay close attention. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Then the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now look in verse 25. We'll read verse 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I want to preach tonight mainly about this young man that we read about in verse 25. His name was Seth, and he was God's substitute. You say, what does that mean? We're going to learn about that tonight. I want to preach on Seth, the substitute. Let's pray one more time. Bow your heads. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you'd please help us as we teach and preach and proclaim your word tonight. Thank you for all those that are here, for all of our Awana kids that are here tonight. Bless their teachers. Lord, I pray for those that are sick tonight. But Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight not saved, that they would see their need for Christ, their Savior. And Lord, that they would come to know you. Lord, that they would put their trust in you. Help us as Christians to grow in the Lord, for that is our goal. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to catch you up briefly, for those of you that may not have been here the past few weeks and may not know what exactly the story of Cain and Abel is. Let me briefly give you the story of Cain and Abel. I'll catch you up, and then we're going to look at these verses that we've read tonight, and we're going to study out the rest of chapter number 4. We understand, as I said earlier, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? We understand that God is the creator over all things. And God created the heavens, the skies, the stars, the sun, the moon, the seas, everything around us God made. And he made it all in 6 days. We understand that on the last day of creation is when God made man. God made man as the crown of his creation. He made you and me, he made us to have a relationship with him, to have a fellowship with God, to have a friendship with God. But there came a day whenever man disobeyed God. There came a day when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They ate of fruit that was forbidden because they thought that it would make them higher than God. And they wanted to be higher than God. They committed the sin of pride and rebellion. And because of that, man fell from perfection into something we call sin. Sin is anything that goes against God. Sin is pride, it's lying, it's stealing, it's cheating, it's anger, it's bitterness, it's jealousy, it's all of these things that are opposite of God. And so Adam fell into sin and his wife Eve. And so Adam, in his sin, he represents all of us. Because guess what? We are all children of Adam, aren't we? All right? Your father had a father, his father had a father, had a father, had a father. And many, many, many fathers ago, all of our fathers were under one father, Adam. Right? Adam sinned. His sin brought judgment upon him. And ultimately, Adam died because of our sin. Death is the result of sin. And today it says that we are in Adam. We're in his family. We all sin. We were born with that sin nature, and our sin deserves death and judgment and spiritual death, right? So Adam and his sin and his punishment represent us, right? Now Adam had two sons. Their names were Cain, and his name was Abel. Cain and Abel represent something. Adam represents all of us, the human race, right? Adam sinned, he was judged for it, and he deserved death for it. That's all of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve death and judgment. But Adam had two sons. And these two sons, Cain and Abel, they represent two types of people in the human race. Did you know tonight that you are in one of two categories? As a person, you are either Cain or you are Abel. You see, Cain and Abel, there came a time, although man has sinned, God has made a way for us to be reconciled to himself, because God is a just God, but he's a loving God. God loves us, and so he's made a way for us to come back to him, but that is only through a perfect sacrifice. You see, somebody had to bear the judgment of our sin, right? And so God, in the Old Testament times, before Jesus Christ died on the cross, he told them that if they were going to be reconciled with him, if they were going to become friends with God again, they would have to slay a lamb. And that lamb would have to bear the judgment of their sin. That was the offering that had to be brought to God. Well, there came a time when Cain and Abel grew up, they became adults, and they brought to God their offerings. Now listen, are you listening? Here's the offering Cain brought. He brought a bunch of vegetables and fruits. He said he was a gardener, Cain was. And Cain thought that he could take the work of his hands, all this stuff that he had produced, and that he could give it to God, and God would be pleased with his offering. Now, Abel, on the other hand, he didn't bring God fruit or vegetables or the works of his garden, but he brought God a lamb that he had slain, a perfect little lamb whose blood had been shed. And here's how the story goes in the Word of God. God accepted the offering of Abel, but he rejected the offering of Cain. He was pleased with Abel's offering, but he was not pleased with Cain's offering. Do you know why? Because Cain brought an offering of works. Cain thought that God would see all the good things that he had done and produced, and he thought that that would gain him acceptance with God. There's a lot of people today that think they're going to heaven because they're a good person, because they've done so many good things, because they have so much to show in their life. Well, I go to church, or I go to Awana, or I give to charity. I do good things. So that's what Cain was trusting in. But here's the problem. The good things that Cain brought to God did not make up for the bad things that he had done. Right? How many of you know that, let's say somebody murders somebody. Somebody that you know is murdered. And they take that murderer to court. And that murderer stands before the judge. And that judge says, you deserve to go to prison. And he says, but wait, judge. I know that I've done these things that are wrong. But I've also done a lot of good things. Let me show you all the good things that I've done. You think the judge is going to listen to that? No. Judge isn't going to say, well, I'll let you go because you've done all these good things. That's not how it works in the court of law. You don't try to outweigh your bad things with your good things. If we do bad, God must punish that, right? And so God can't just accept our good works or just being a good person. Now, here's what Abel brought. He brought a lamb. You know why? Because that lamb was his substitute. That lamb took his place. What we deserve is the wrath of God. We deserve his punishment. Abel brought a lamb that was slain, and that lamb took the punishment that Abel deserved. Abel said, God, I deserve punishment. There's not enough good things that I can do to get your acceptance, but I have a substitute that I've brought, just as you've told me. And God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. Friend, let me tell you, there's only two types of people today. There are Cains and there are Abels. Those are people that are trying to get to heaven by being a good person like Cain. But that's not enough. And then there are people like Abel. Abel put his confidence in a lamb to take his place. There are people today trying to do good. And then there are people that realize that they can't do enough good things to be saved. But instead, we must put our faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody's heard of Jesus Christ, right? What do we know about Jesus? He died on a cross. What does that mean? On that cross, Jesus came, and on that cross, they hung him up there. They beat him. They spit upon him. They mocked him. God, the Father, turned his back on God, the Son. You know why he did that? Because he was taking all of the judgment that you and I deserve. I want everybody just to think about, just close your eyes for just a minute. And think about all the things that you've done. All the bad things that you don't want anybody else to know. I want you to look right up here. In just a moment, you've thought of things that you wouldn't dare tell anybody. You've thought of things, thoughts that ran through your mind that you wouldn't want anybody to know. Christ took the punishment for all of those evil things, and he bore it on the cross. So there are only two types of people, those that trust in themselves and those that trust in Jesus who took our place, right? God's only going to accept one, and that is those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so Cain's offering was rejected, and Abel's offering was accepted. Well, Cain was very angry. Cain was a proud man. He didn't understand why God would reject him and accept Abel, and he became very angry with his brother. He became so angry that he rose up and he slew his brother. He killed him. Abel was murdered by Cain. You say that's a terrible thing. It is. And God came and he dealt with Cain for his terrible deed. But I want you to think about this. Just follow me for tonight. There's a problem now. This catches us up to where we are. There's now another problem, though. Cain's offering was not accepted, but Abel's offering was. Cain was very angry with his brother, and he killed him. And so God comes, and he judges Cain, but now there's a problem. You say, what problem is that? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3:15. God told Adam and Eve after they sinned, he said, I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What's this verse mean? In this verse, God was talking to Satan. Satan had tempted man and caused them to sin. And now God
was promising a Savior. God said, I know that you've sinned. I know that you've disobeyed. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send somebody to save you, and he's going to be born of a woman. How many know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin by the name of Mary, the seed of the woman? He's talking about Jesus. And he told that old serpent, Satan, he said, when Jesus comes, you're going to bite at his ankles, but he's going to step on you and he's going to crush you. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did whenever he came. But the devil understood what was going to happen, and the devil wanted to stop this from happening. The devil wanted to keep Jesus Christ from coming. So there's only two people that he could have come through. He would have come through the line of Cain or the line of Abel. Well, Cain was wicked, right? Cain was not accepted of God. So Jesus would not come through his lineage because they were corrupted by sin. Abel was the only option for Jesus to come by his lineage. And what happened? Cain killed Abel. It seemed as though Satan had won. It seemed at that time when Cain killed Abel that the devil had stopped the seed of the woman, that he had stopped Jesus Christ from coming. The devil thought that because of this, he was going to win. Now, all that was left was to wait and to let the wicked family of Cain multiply and fill the world with corruption and evil, because they were the only ones left, Cain and his family. And that is exactly what they did. I want you to look in chapter 4 again, everybody, and look in verse number 9. I want you to notice how wicked that man became so quickly. The first sin ever was eating fruit that God told him not to eat. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? Everybody's done that, haven't we? How many's ate a cookie that your mom and dad told you not to eat, right? You say that's not a big deal. Actually, it is a big deal, because sin is sin. Adam and Eve sinned. They ate a forbidden fruit. You know the next sin that we read about in the Bible? Cain killed Abel. Wow, isn't that amazing how sin can grow? The first sin was eating forbidden fruit, and then one chapter later, somebody is murdering their brother. That's how sin grows. But look in chapter 4 in verse number 9. This is after Cain killed Abel. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Can you see the pride that Cain had? Cain had just killed his own brother. And God came to Cain and he said, where's Abel? God already knew what happened, but God wanted to hear it from Cain. And you know what Cain said? Cain not only lied and tried to cover it up instead of confessing it to God, but Cain actually smarted off to God. Could you imagine if God were here? Would you imagine smarting off to him? He said, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, God, what do you want? I don't know what to tell you, God. You'll have to ask somebody else, because I am not my brother's keeper. He had just killed his brother. That shows us how wicked that mankind is, how prideful that we are in our hearts. And then look in verse number 10. And he said, God said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. God didn't need to hear the story from Cain. God had already heard the story from Abel. God heard the cries of his brother's blood that had been slain. He knew exactly what had happened. And God said to Cain, what have you done? Think about this. The first time God met with Cain, before he killed his brother, God extended mercy to him and grace. He said, if you do it right, or if you do well, thou shalt be accepted. The first time God met with Cain, he was giving him a chance to get it right with him. But the second time God met with Cain, it was in judgment. Friend, I want you to know there's only two times that God's going to meet with us. In this life, God is extending mercy to us and saying, get right with me. Call upon me while I am near. Seek me while I may be found. Ask me to save you before it's too late. But if we do not respond to God in this life, we will meet God again after this life, and then he will not give us a chance to repent, but he will judge us for our sin. He said unto Cain, "What hast thou done?" Now look in verse 11. Here is Cain's punishment. He said, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength." Here was the first punishment that Cain had. God said, "You're a gardener, right?" Cain said, "Yes." He said, "Here's your judgment. The ground that you till is cursed even more than it was before, so that it's going to be that much harder to work." You say, what's the big deal there? Think about this for a second. What was Cain relying on to be saved? He was relying on the ground. He was tilling the ground and he was growing fruit, and he took that fruit and he said, "God, look at the things that I've brought forth." He thought that the work of that ground was going to save him. But his sin found its way into that very ground because the blood of his brother sank into that ground. And God said, "You are cursed by the ground." You know what that's a picture of? People that are trying to be good to be saved. Cain was trying to bring up some good fruit for God. There's people trying to do good things and trying to do good things to get accepted by God. There's a lot of people that think that being good and their works are going to get them accepted. But in fact, their works are going to prove them to be guilty. And they will be cursed because of those works. Just like Cain was cursed from that very ground. That was his first punishment. Here was his second. He said in verse number 12, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." You know what that means? A fugitive and a vagabond. God said, "You're going to be a wanderer. You're going to be a nomad. You're not going to have a home. Because of the great wickedness that you've done, and because you've not repented of it, you are not going to have rest." Anybody ever heard the phrase, "No rest for the wicked"? That's where we get it. He said, "Cain, you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond." Friend, can I take a time out and say that the result of sin is restlessness? Nobody is going to find true peace. Nobody will find true rest until they repent of their sin and turn to Christ. But the ultimate result of sin is restlessness. Look there in verse number 14, or verse 13. "Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear." I want you just to notice with me, Cain's the only one left. Abel's gone, it's just Cain. This is what the world is left with. Cain is smarting off to God. He says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God says, "I'm going to punish you." And you know what Cain said? "I think you're too severe, God. That's too hard." Do you think that Cain for 1 minute thought about what he had just done to his brother? Do you think that he said that he was maybe too severe on his brother? He didn't even think that his sin was worth mentioning. But he thought that God's punishment was too severe. He thought it was worth protesting. You hear people say all the time, "Well, I just can't believe there's so much suffering, or that God would send people to hell. That's so severe of God." I want you to think about how severe our sin is. Cain thought his judgment was too great, but he didn't even think about what he had done. He had taken an innocent life. Friend, you may not think that you're worthy of God's judgment, but God is holy, and our sin is exceeding wicked. You see, I've never murdered. You know what the Bible says? If you've ever been unjustly angry with your neighbor in your heart, if you've hated them in your heart, you are guilty of murder. Who's done that? I have. You realize we're guilty of the same thing Cain was. Cain was guilty, and everything he deserved is what we deserve. Now look in verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Ain't that ironic that Cain was guilty of murder, but he was afraid of being murdered? You know what? That just shows how good God is. That even though Cain was so wicked, God said, you know what? I am going to place a mark of safety on you, and no one's going to take your life. And if they do, I will avenge you seven times as much. God was merciful. God's very merciful today because he's given man a chance to repent. We have sinned terribly, as much as Cain. We deserve to die immediately. And yet God has given us a space to repent now. That's what he gave to Cain. Did Cain repent? No. Look in verse 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He didn't go into the presence of the Lord. He didn't say, I'm sorry, God. I repent. I'm sorry. Forgive me. No, he turned a cold shoulder to God and he went away from his presence and he dwelt in the land of Nod. You know what that word Nod means? It means the land of exile or wandering or restlessness. Here is a man who is a fugitive and a vagabond, and he dwells in the land of exile. That's exactly how we are spiritually in our sin. Look in verse 17. We read about Cain's family. Cain knew his wife. She conceived and bare Enoch. He builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehurad, and Mehujael begat Methusiel, and Methusiel begat Lamech. Now look in verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. What's happening? Remember, Cain's the only one left on the planet. Cain killed his brother, and it's only his family. And what God is showing us is how wicked that Cain was, and then it gives us his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, Lamech. And he's showing us that the more that time went, mankind didn't get better, they got worse. When God judged Cain, he was merciful, and he said, I'm going to place a mark of protection, and nobody will hurt you, and if they do, I'll avenge you sevenfold. Now, fast forward. Six grandkids later, Cain had a grandkid named Lamech, and he did the exact same thing as his grandfather. He killed a man. And you know what he said? He said, God's not going to let anything hurt me. If God placed a mark of protection sevenfold on Cain, then he'll place a mark of protection 77-fold on me. You know what that is? The more that man sins, the harder our hearts get. And I encourage you, especially you young people, to make sure that you turn to Christ now. The older you get, the more you sin, the harder your heart becomes. In Cain's day, God placed a mark, but six generations later, this man was bragging about his sin, and he felt as if he would not be touched. Guess what? God didn't promise Lamech any protection. He just assumed. Don't assume that God's okay with our sin, because he's not. At this point in the chapter, it seems as though all hope is lost. Godly Abel was dead, and now Cain's family was filling the earth with wickedness. It seemed that man had no hope. But I want you to look in verse 25. Here is where God gave them hope. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. As far as we know, six generations have taken place in Cain's family. At this point in their lives, Adam and Eve are very old. They live to be a lot longer then. They lived to be nearly 900 years old. At this point in their life, they had Abel, and they had Cain, and they had no other sons. But God blessed them with another son named Seth. And he was going to be a godly son. You know what God did? God raised up his seed. God brought a substitute. You know what a substitute means? It means to take the place of somebody else. Like a substitute teacher takes the place of a regular teacher. Abel had died, and it seemed that the Savior would not come. But God raised up a substitute. He raised up Seth. And by Seth, Jesus Christ would come to save the world. You know what the word Seth means? Substitute. It also means to be settled or to be placed. You say, what in the world was happening? God made a substitute. The devil thought that he put God in a checkmate, but nobody puts God in a checkmate. Nobody backs God into a corner. God will always, always raise up a remnant. He will raise up a godly seed, and God will always keep his promises. God said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to crush the head of Satan. And he's saying here, devil, there's nothing you can do to stop it. God did send a son through the family of Seth, and his name was Jesus Christ. I want to do something, and we're going to be done tonight. I want you to just give me your attention for a few more minutes. I want to take a step back, and I want us to look at chapter 4 as a whole. Everybody listening? So far, we have analyzed each of the verses in this chapter sort of like little puzzle pieces. But now I want to step back, and I want us to look at the picture that this puzzle makes in chapter 4. You say, what picture are you talking about, Revis? In Genesis 3:15, God promised for the first time that he was going to send a Savior. And we know that that Savior is Jesus Christ. He came and he died for the sins of all men, and he rose again victorious over death so that you can be saved. Well, here's the thing. That didn't happen for 4,000 years. Until Christ came, God used things to paint pictures of Jesus, to describe Jesus to us, to tell us about what he had done. Anybody in school, your teachers, how many of you have a teacher that will maybe use an object lesson to help you understand something better? Anybody know of something like that? Okay. That's what God does. God's a teacher. And God uses object lessons to help us understand his Bible and Jesus. So I want you to look in this chapter. There's an object lesson. There is a picture of Jesus Christ. You say, how is that? Abel and his brother Seth represent Jesus Christ. You ready? Let's look here. How? Number one, notice Abel's birth in verse number 2. Abel was the second born. Cain, when he was born, his parents thought very highly of him. They said, we have acquired a man from the Lord. But when Abel was born, they didn't say anything. And they named him Abel. You know what Abel means? Nothing. That's what it means. Nothing. Abel was not esteemed. He was not accepted of his family. They turned their backs on him. They despised and rejected him. They esteemed him not. They named him nothing. They thought nothing of him. Does that remind you of anybody? Let me read to you a verse about Jesus. In Isaiah 53 and verse 2, it says that when Jesus came, it says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. That means he has no physical beauty. Jesus, when he came, wasn't a head and shoulders taller than everybody with pretty luscious locks and big muscles. He was a regular man whenever he came. There was no form, no comeliness. And then it goes on to say, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He, Jesus, was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know the word self-esteem? That means you think, if you have good self-esteem, you think good of yourself, right? It says we esteemed him not. That means they didn't think anything good of him. Abel, his family thought nothing good of him. Did you know when Jesus Christ came to earth, his family didn't think anything good of him? They despised him. They rejected him. He never sinned. His brothers rejected him. His own family, his own nation, Israel, despised him. You know what they ended up doing? They ended up killing him. Abel was despised by his family. So was Christ. Abel was a shepherd. So was Christ. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then we see not only this, he was a shepherd, he was despised by his family, he brought to God an acceptable offering. Jesus Christ brought to God an acceptable offering, himself. Notice number 4. Abel's brother was angry with him because God accepted and loved him. And because of that, Cain slew him. That is what happened to Christ. The Pharisees, the Jews, when Jesus walked on this earth, hated him because he was perfect and sinless, and because the Father loved him. And he was so good and so righteous that it revealed just how bad they were. And they slew him, just like Cain did Abel. Abel didn't fight back. Abel didn't yell at his brother. It says that they walked and talked in the field, and Cain slew him. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Did you know Jesus Christ was led as a lamb to the slaughter? Whenever the Pharisees led him and the Roman soldiers put him in chains, whenever they tied him to a rock and they lashed his back, Jesus never said one bad word. He never yelled. He never fought back. He never ran. You know why? Because Jesus wasn't just being killed, but he was laying down his life to save sinners like you and me. Abel died just like Christ. Then notice this, Abel's blood spoke to God. God said to Cain, I've heard the voice of your brother's blood talking to me. Did you know that the blood of Jesus Christ also speaks? You know what Abel's blood cried for? Vengeance. Avenge me, God, of my murder, and judge this man, Cain, my brother. You know what Jesus' blood speaks? God, have mercy on them. It speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Christ says, God, forgive them. God, save them. The blood of Christ speaks also to God. And it speaks better things than that of Abel. And that is why we have to trust in the shed blood of Christ if we will have mercy. Then notice lastly, Cain, the devil, thought he had won. When he slew Abel, he thought that he cut down the seed of Christ by killing Abel. But just when it seemed that all hope was lost, God raised up his seed with Seth. That happened when Jesus came to earth. The devil thought he had killed the seed of the woman. The devil thought he had killed Christ. He put him up on a cross. He nailed him with his hands and his feet. He pierced his side. And Jesus gave up the ghost and died. He thought he had cut off the seed. Thought he had cut off Christ. He thought he had won. They took Jesus down from the cross. And they wrapped him in linen. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. They rolled a humongous stone in front of that tomb. They sealed the tomb. And they put Roman soldiers outside the tomb. Satan thought that he had killed Christ. But just like God raised up his seed by allowing Seth to be born, God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. You know what happened on the third day? Jesus didn't stay dead. He said, you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. God did not allow Jesus to stay dead. But on the third day, Christ took the keys of death and took the keys of hell, and he marched right up out of the earth, rolled away the stone, and came out victorious. The devil thought he had won, but he had not won. In fact, he had lost. His head was crushed. You know what Seth's name means? Substitute. Settled or placed. Jesus was our substitute, was he not? And when Christ rose again, our salvation was settled forever by the precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. I want you to know something. You Awana kids and all of us that are studying through Genesis, in every page of the Bible, there is a picture of Jesus Christ. That is what it is all about. Hold up your Bible. Everybody look at it for just a moment. This is the most important book that you will ever look at in your life. Not your math book. Not your algebra book. Not your science book. In this book are the words of eternal life. You can put it down. This book's all about one person, and his name is Jesus. And if you reject him, you stand condemned by God, deserving of hell. And if you accept him, you stand accepted by God, destined for heaven. I want you to know something. God is calling all men everywhere to do something today. He's calling men to repent and to turn to Jesus in faith and put their trust in him. And that is God's call to you, all of us. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think, Brother Ronnie, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think your favorite verse may be Romans 10:9. At least I've heard you quote it the most. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What do you got to do? You better mean business with God and trust on him in your heart and then confess him with your mouth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does everybody understand what we've talked about tonight? Do you understand our need for Christ? I want everybody to seriously consider that. I want you kids especially to think about that. What will you do with Jesus? We're going to pray. And while I'm praying, if there is anybody that needs to come and pray tonight, then I'm going to invite you to do that. But before we do, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. If you're here and you say, Revis, I know that I'm saved. I know that I've trusted in Christ. You'd like to raise up your hand and say, Revis, I know I'm saved. Raise up your hand if you know you're saved. All right, you can put it back down. Maybe you say, Revis, I actually don't know that I'm saved. According to what you've told me, I've not done that. I've been trying to be good, but I realize that's not enough. Would there be anybody honest enough to raise your hand and say, Revis, pray for me. That's me. Anybody like that? I see those hands. I see that hand. Anybody else? You can put them back down. We're going to pray for each of you tonight, all right? We're going to pray that the Lord help you. And you know that in the upcoming weeks, anytime you've got a question for your Awana leaders, we want you to ask them and talk to them, and they'll talk to you about it. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that you'd please bless us tonight to soak in everything that you've taught us and make sense of it to our hearts. Lord, I pray for each of these that have raised their hands. Lord, I pray that you'd bring them to an understanding knowledge of salvation. Lord, I pray, God, that if they do understand, if you're dealing with them, that they would not wait, that they would call on you to save them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as Christians to grow. Bless those that couldn't be here tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, any announcements need to be made before we dismiss? Kids, I want you to know something. We do this every Sunday.